In Psalm 135, we read that God does whatever He pleases.
That's an all-inclusive statement. He doesn't have to take it to committee. He doesn't have to have majority approval. Whatever He pleases. Everything He pleases. He does. And what He does cannot be hindered, cannot be thwarted, cannot be stopped. This is who God is.
When we talk about the doctrines of grace, the underlying principle is God's sovereignty. He does what He pleases in heaven, on the earth, and in our hearts. Today on Renewing Your Mind, Ligonier Teaching Fellow Dr. Stephen Lawson continues his series on the doctrines of grace by showing us that God's sovereignty in salvation is evident in the Psalms.
I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 53 before we move forward. And I want to draw to your attention that Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3, is a virtual word-for-word repetition of Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, which we've already considered. But I want you to see that this is so important that it's actually repeated again within the book of Psalms. So in Psalm 53, note, beginning in verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is any who understands, who seeks after God.'" Verse 3, "Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. Not even one." Again, this is the indictment of the human race because of Adam's sin and the sin nature being passed down at the point of conception to everyone born of Adam's race. Come with me to Psalm 93, and this begins a section, Psalm 93 through Psalm 99, that is known as the Enthronement Psalms. And these psalms have a signature phrase that is found at the beginning of Psalm 93, verse 1, "The Lord reigns." It will be repeated later in Psalm 96, verse 10, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." It will be repeated later in Psalm 98 and Psalm 99. It is a reaffirmation of this towering truth, "The Lord reigns." R.C. Sproul has said that the sovereignty of God is God's favorite doctrine. And he said it would be your favorite doctrine if you were God. Because it means you are in charge and in control of everything that you have created. So note Psalm 93, verse 1. "The Lord reigns." Now, let me just stop right there. The Lord and only the Lord reigns. Please note, it's not the Lord and Satan reign together. It's not the Lord and man reigns together. It's not the Lord and good luck or bad luck reign together. It's not the Lord and chance or fate or accidents or anything. No, it's the Lord reigns. Please notice in the present tense. Every moment of every day, the Lord reigns. It's not that we're waiting for the Lord to reign at the time of the second coming, and until then, we're just trying to hang on to the fort. No, the Lord reigns right now, present tense. And it's not that, well, the Lord reigned in the past, in the Old Testament times, when He intervened with so many extraordinary miracles, and He just doesn't reign anymore like He once did. No, the Lord reigns right now. Every time this text is read, the Lord is upon His throne, and He is governing and administrating and controlling all that He has created here. He is clothed with majesty. What a regal reign this is. He is robed in splendor as He reigns. The Lord has clothed Himself with strength. That's important. That is to say, He has the power and the might to carry out all of His executive decrees. It would be one thing to decree something, but you didn't have the clout to back it up and to pull it off. But this says the Lord reigns and he has the power to carry out all of his decisions, and all of his decrees will come to pass, for no one can resist the Lord. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. I chuckle at people who think the world's going to blow up. You need to read the Bible. He's got the whole world in the palm of his hands, and it's not going to blow up until he blows it up at the end and creates a new heaven and a new earth. So this is an important psalm. Verse 2, your throne is established from of old. He's been on that throne a long time. So how long has he been upon his throne? He says, you are from everlasting. From all eternity past, as far back as the human mind can fly back into ages past, God was already there. And God was already established in his supreme authority over all. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their pounding waves. The imagery here is of the world in chaos, like a stormy ocean. And the waves are smashing against the coastline. And God's sovereignty is seen as the rocks that are on the coastline and the waves. It's repeated three times for emphasis. The waves are lifted up. The waves are lifted up. The waves are lifted up. But notice the result. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The rock smashes the waves every time into a million drops. The rock is unmoved. The angry waves are dashed. So it is. When this evil world rises up against Almighty God in his sovereignty, he is unmoved. He is the Lord on high. So, Psalm 96, verse 10. This is the message we proclaim to the world, the sovereignty of God in his supreme authority. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. In other words, sorry about your God, your self-made God who is no God. The one true living God reigns over the entire planet which he has made. There are no limits to his jurisdiction. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so in Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Psalm 99, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let his peoples tremble. This is the declaration of the sovereignty of Almighty God. And the repetition here is intentional. Again and again and again. It should be like a nail being driven into a board with many blows. In Psalm 103, you know this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And the entire rest of the psalm gives the reasons why we should bless the name of the Lord. Praise has its reasons. And we do not have time to go through the entirety of this psalm and to document all the reasons for which we should give praise to God. But please note verse 17. I'll just have to zero in quickly on verse 17. The loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting, that's eternity past, to everlasting, that is eternity future. That's really Romans 8, 29 and 30. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined, and predestined he called, and he called, he justified, and he justified, he glorified. Starts in eternity past, ends up in eternity future. The group that he started with in eternity past is the group that he brings to consummation in eternity future. His loving kindness is from everlasting as he set his affection and his heart upon his chosen ones. And it extends to eternity future, as he will bring them all to glory. And then verse 19, just to establish that he has the authority to bring this to pass. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. No one else has given him his throne. No one else has put him into office. No one else has voted him in. He's established his own throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. All peoples, all events, all circumstances, all history, all destinies, all hearts, all wills, all minds, all lives, all angelic beings, all demon spirits. His sovereignty rules over all. This is the firm foundation upon which the five doctrines of grace rest so securely. Come to Psalm 105, verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. He is the God who chooses his people. He is the God who has chosen a bride for his son. He is a God who chooses. He is a God who passes over. He is a God who sets his heart upon those whom he has chosen. Psalm 106 and verse 5, we read the same. That I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. Again, the psalmist acknowledges that God has the right to choose who will be his people. In Psalm 112 and verse 9, we read, for how long his salvation endures toward his people. He has given freely to the poor. Now listen to this. His righteousness endures forever. And it also is implied the righteousness that he gives to his people endures forever. Our righteousness that is given to us in the act of justification is in reality, of course, we know the righteousness of God in Christ, but it endures forever. Psalm 115, verse 3, is another dramatic statement of the supreme authority of God in the heavens. Let me begin reading in verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? In other words, where is God? You talk about your God, where is God? Is what the unbelieving nations are saying. And the psalmist answers the question, I'll tell you where God is. God is in the heavens, and God is upon his throne, and God is doing anything and everything that he pleases. Look at verse 3. But our God is in the heavens, as if to answer the question, where is God? And now, what is God doing as he is in the heavens? He does whatever he pleases. I love that because God is all wise and everything that he does is perfect. He is all loving towards his people and everything that he does will be not only for his glory, but for our good. And God is all powerful. He can bring to pass all that pleases him. This is a wonderful statement of this firm foundation upon which the doctrines of grace rest. Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 121, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Satan will not snatch a single soul that has been committed to the Lord. None of his sheep will perish. He will keep your soul. Verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. That's a figurative expression for all of your activities. It's like saying, preach the word in season and out of season. Well, there's no other season. It's either in season or out of season. It's a figurative way of saying all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, preach the word. And to say the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, That's just another way of saying all day, every day. From this time forth, meaning in this lifetime, and forever, referring to the life to come on the other side of the grave. This is the perseverance of the saints, the eternal security of the believer, the preserving grace of God. Psalm 125 and the first two verses. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord, referring to saving faith, believing faith in God, are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides for how long? Forever. That is for how long we are kept by the Lord in whom we have put our trust. We are preserved forever. We are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. This is glorious. Look at the next verse. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. In other words, we can't get away from Him. He's inescapable. We are with Him for how long? Look at the last line. From this time forth, meaning throughout this entire lifetime here upon the earth, and forever. He says it again as he ended verse 1. Anyone who thinks they can lose their salvation is reading their Bible in a dark room with their eyes closed. They're asleep and the Bible is closed or upside down. Forever. We are kept by the Lord. Psalm 135. Psalm 135 and verse 6. This is a great verse. In fact, let me begin in verse 1. Praise the Lord. You know what the word praise means? Boast in the Lord. Brag on God. We see people who have their favorite college football teams, and they just go around strutting and bragging about their team and how good they are. They want to talk about how good their team is. They put decals on their car. They wear T-shirts. They wear hats. I mean, grown men, like you'd think they're still in college. That's the idea here, that we boast in our God humbly. We give God the glory in anything and everything. And so he repeats it, praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O servants of the Lord. So why should we praise the Lord? He says in verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to the Lord, for it is lovely. Well, we come down to verse 5 and 6. For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. So what distinguishes the one true living God from all the false idols who have eyes but cannot see, who have mouths but cannot speak? Verse 6 gives the answer. The one true living God is the sovereign God who does whatever He pleases. That's who God is. Any other God is a figment of your imagination. And so he says in verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does. That's an all-inclusive statement. He doesn't have to take it to committee. He doesn't have to have majority approval. Whatever He pleases. Everything He pleases, He does. And what He does cannot be hindered, cannot be thwarted, cannot be stopped. This is who God is. And so when God sets His heart upon His elect in eternity past and gives them to His Son to come into this world, to lay down His life, to redeem them at the cross and purchase their salvation. And when this God, the Father, sends the Holy Spirit along with the Son, sending the Spirit into this world to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment and to call and to apprehend and to summon and to subpoena and to draw and to regenerate and to grant repentance and to grant saving faith and to birth and to seal and to sanctify and to preserve and to usher into His presence in heaven. Whatever He pleases, He does. And no one, no devil, no demons, no man, no nations, no peoples, no political party, no one, nothing can hinder the eternal pleasure and purpose of God from coming to pass. And we need to shout it from the housetops. Amen. We need to say to the nations, the Lord reigns. And whatever He pleases, He does. And I want to say, any lower view of God is disgusting. Any lesser view of God is abominable. Because the one true God does whatever He pleases. Now, there's one last passage, Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. I love this verse, and it's just such a declaration of the sovereignty of God. The entire psalm is a statement of the sovereignty of God. I mean, He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows where we're going to go before we go. I mean, He knows everything, does everything. And we come now to verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, meaning before I was even born. You had woven me in my mother's womb, verse 15. And in your book, this book that God has in heaven that contains His eternal counsel and will and everything that will come to pass. As R.C. Sproul says, there are no maverick molecules in the universe. In this book in heaven were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. This is extraordinary. God has predetermined the number of days that you will spend here upon the earth. He has sovereignly appointed the day of your birth. He has sovereignly appointed the day of your death. You will not be born one day before that date, and you'll not live one day short or one day longer than that appointed day. And every single day in between has been appointed by God, and they're all written in His book. And no man can open that book. No man can change what's written in that book. No man even knows what's in that book, but the one who wrote it in that book, which is God Himself. I want to say again, there's no plan B, there's no plan C, there's no altering of God's plans. He's not making this up as He goes. He's not coming to the line of scrimmage, having to change the call that was called in the huddle. He's carrying out His purposes that He ordained from eternity past. Isn't that great? Our prayers are not changing His will. You wouldn't want to change God's will. It's already all wise and all perfect and holy. We should be terrified at the thought that my prayer could change the will of God. Are you kidding me? Our prayer changes us. God is God. Now, we are to pray, and our prayers do have a part in the fulfillment of God's eternal plan and purpose. But we need to understand that all of our days and all that occurs in all those days has already been pre-written by Almighty God. And so we live boldly and courageously and fully in the days that He has preordained for us. No wonder this is a book of praise. No wonder it's this theology that creates doxology to rise up and bless the name of the Lord.
God's sovereignty, His control of all things, shouldn't cause us to fear. For those of us who are in Christ, His sovereignty is cause for celebration. On this Saturday edition of Renewing Your Mind, Dr. Stephen Lawson brought us a lesson from his series, Foundations of Grace, Old Testament. In this 14-part series, Dr. Lawson shows us God's sovereignty and the salvation of His people. We'd like to send you the two DVD set for your donation of any amount today. You can find us online at RenewingYourMind.org, or you can call us with your gift at 800-435-4343. Every message in this series reminds us that we can trust God. He is all-powerful, to be sure, but He is good. Again, request Foundations of Grace, Old Testament, when you give a donation of any amount to Ligonier Ministries. Our number again is 800-435-4343, and our web address is renewingyourmind.org. By the way, you'll also find Dr. Lawson's teaching on RefNet, our 24-hour internet radio station. You'll also hear our other Ligonier Teaching Fellows, along with our founder, Dr. R.C. Sproul. If you haven't tuned in, we invite you to do so when you go to refnet.fm, or you can download the free RefNet app for your mobile device. Well, next Saturday, Dr. Lawson returns with a message about God's sovereignty in the book of Proverbs. We hope you'll join us next week here on Renewing Your Mind.